Welcome to the Fearlessly Fit Faith podcast with your host, Ariante, better known as Tay. This podcast is home of discipleship style episodes to inspire women to steward their community and life well. I hope you enjoy this episode. Hello, my friends. I am so glad that you are here listening to today's podcast episode. We're on a little journey, and this is so much fun. So today's podcast testimony, we won't actually do because the testimony of this podcast is basically everything that I shared in this past episode about what the Lord has been teaching me about cycle syncing and femininity and just the beauty of all of that. So go back to that episode if you haven't listened to it already, and just to get kind of a broad idea of why we're doing this little mini series. It's super exciting. So today we're going to be talking with a friend who is a doctor, and she is going to be talking with us about hormones and fertility. And next month we'll follow up with how we can nourish our bodies throughout our hormone cycle. And then we'll follow up with another friend on just femininity and biblical womanhood, and we'll just really like tie this in a really nice bow, and I'm really excited. So for today's podcast episode, I'm just going to go ahead and introduce Chelsea. So Dr. Chelsea is a doctor of chiropractic, certified acupuncturist, and functional medicine practitioner. She has extensive education and healthcare training in the alternative medicine field. She utilizes her training in chiropractic, functional medicine, and acupuncture to work alongside and serve her clients as they achieve their health and wellness goals while educating them on how to support their natural God-given physiology. She is extremely passionate about supporting women throughout the challenges of hormone imbalance, burnout, adrenal dysfunction, fertility struggles, pregnancy, and postpartum health. Her practice, Abide Functional Wellness, is located inside Your Wellness Connection in Shawnee, Kansas, where she serves clients in person and virtually. So I really hope that you are so excited for this podcast episode. Dr. Chelsea is great, and I just really appreciated her heart so much. So without further ado, we're just going to go ahead and hop right in. Can you give us a short snippet of your testimony and where your passion for holistic health came from?
Yeah, so I would say, well, a short snippet of my testimony really is I grew up in the church, but I went through Sunday school, I knew all of the right things, and I was baptized at a pretty young age just because my friends were doing it, and I kind of thought that was what the next step was. When you were in like first or second grade, if you're not baptized yet, people are kind of looking around like, why is that kid not baptized, right? So my friends were getting baptized, so I was like, I knew enough to like answer the questions, but I didn't really understand. So I really spent the next probably 6 or 7 years like wondering if I was truly saved, or did I just know about God, or did I actually know God? And so I wasn't truly saved until I was about 14. I was on a mission trip, and I just knew that there was, the day before that, I could tell I was just living for myself, and then there was that change, and I knew that the Holy Spirit was living within me, and that I truly understood just, the grace that I needed, and really had a walk with Jesus at that point. So that's a little bit of kind of my faith testimony. And then kind of around the same time, I really decided to get serious about my health. And I don't really know what exactly spurred it on. I had a lot of gut issues and digestive issues as a kid, like my whole life. My sisters and I were all C-section babies. My mom had 5 C-sections.
Wow.
So yes, so all of us were C-section kids, and we all have gut issues. So if you've been in the holistic health world for any amount of time, there's definitely a connection between, having birth by cesarean and then the gut microbiome for your baby, because usually we get that gut microbiome by going through, your mom's natural birth canal, but a C-section kind of bypasses that. So my theory is that we all have these gut issues because we're all C-section babies. So Whether or not the rest of my family is on board with that yet, is debatable, but that's my theory. So anyway, it was kind of me kind of trying to figure out, okay, why do we all have these gut issues? Why do we all have digestive issues? We just called it the sickness. Like, we all understood it. We all had a lot of food sensitivities and issues, beyond just digestive issues, but that's kind of how it started for all of us. So I was really on a journey to kind of figure out, okay, why am I having these gut issues? Which led me into reading about clean eating and the gut microbiome and fermented foods. And then I wanted to clean out my healthcare products and then started making my own deodorant in high school. And just kind of one thing led to another. Whenever you start learning, you know better, and then you really can't stop. So that was kind of where my holistic health journey started as a teenager. And then I would say through college, still kind of living that like clean lifestyle, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do as a career. And then when I was in college, I heard about this master's in nutrition program at a chiropractic school that was actually local to where I grew up at Logan University in Chesterfield. I'm from Troy, Missouri. So this was only like 45 minutes from where I grew up. So I was really interested in this master's program. I went to the school to learn about the master's program. And of course, they pitch, well, we're a chiropractic school. So here's our doctor of chiropractic program. And I had never been to a chiropractor at that point. And I just kind of fell in love with how they explained it. I was able to transfer. I was just at a sweet spot in my undergrad career where I was able to kind of transfer and finish a little bit earlier because I had taken plenty of credits to do that. So then I got into chiropractic school, and that is where I truly, I guess, was able to apply the knowledge to the passion and love that I already had for holistic health. And then, yeah, I love chiropractic. It has just a really holistic view of the body. And so just being able to learn the physiology and the education behind, why living a holistic lifestyle was better, is where I really was able to kind of apply that and dig a lot deeper. And so that's kind of where I got to where I am now.
I love that. That is so
Long
exciting.
story,
I'm
not
like
short.
so excited to like go into the rest of the questions.
Yes.
But your testimony, like my testimony is like pretty similar. Like I was baptized young, like had no idea what I was doing, probably knew like a lot, but it wasn't until
Yes.
I got to college that I was like, oh, like this is who the Lord is, like this is the gospel, you know? And it was just like life transforming. And then obviously I don't have a doctorate in like holistic health or like chiropractic or any of that, but it was in college for me that like I began to understand like, okay, like I'm a whole person, like it really matters like how I view
Yes.
myself holistically. And so it's really fun. So yes.
Yes. Yes. And I think the two are so like intertwined. Our relationship with God and understanding like who God is it only like amplifies our, for me at least, it just amplifies, why do we want this holistic mindset? Because truly that's how God created us, and it's just a deeper understanding of Him also. So, yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Yes.
Okay, so where can we glean from scripture the importance of stewarding our bodies well?
Well, I think there's so much throughout scripture, but I really think it starts with understanding again, like I guess like I just gave away, but understanding like who we are and who we are, how God sees us and how God really knit us together. So one of my favorite Bible verses, and I always get emotional reading it, is Psalm 139, 13, which is, for you form my inward parts, you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. And I think about that, and I think that's just really the basis. God sees our bodies and He formed them. So because they were formed with a purpose and with a creator, that's an even, first of all, that's just even more motivation to learn about, okay, wow, this fascinating body that God created. But then because we know that, that is more motivation to steward that body well, because we're not an accident. We were fearfully and wonderfully knitted together. And so I also think of 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, which is, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Mm. And so we glorify God in our body when we know those truths.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Psalm 139 is like one of my favorites too. It's like, yes. It's such a powerful reminder of like who he is as like creator and intelligent designer, you know, and then who we are, you know, like his created, like he didn't, like with purpose, like you were saying, like he created us. It's just, I don't know. It's so powerful and beautiful. And, it's just nice, like sit back and like recognize, okay, like this is who the Lord is. And like, he's so good. So,
yeah. And I think when we just kind of are grounded in that truth, it really change. It truly like shapes how you view your body, which is going to change how you view health and how the body functions. And then what you put in your body and all of that, because we understand that God created us with a purpose and with an intelligence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Okay. So what is the importance of having a general understanding of our hormones and fertility? And then what are some basic things that we should know about both?
Sorry, I'm getting a drink here.
honestly,
okay. So the importance of having a general understanding of hormones and fertility, I think, is just because it empowers us. If we have knowledge, knowledge is power. And when we have that tool of knowledge, we can advocate for ourselves. We can do better. We can understand what's going on. I think a lot of times when we look at just medical interventions, for example, a lot of times, at least in my office, maybe this isn't the same for everyone, but I do see this kind of subset of people that have these interventions done to them, or they agreed to it. And then later on, they're kind of like, I just didn't really understand what was going on. Or I didn't know I had an option. I didn't know that's how the body worked. No one told me. Mm-hmm. So for me, understanding hormones and fertility is a huge piece of advocating for yourself. Mm-hmm. And whether that's, you know, with a medical intervention or some sort of medication or whatever the case may be, you have to have that knowledge to be able to know, okay, there's something else, or I have another option. So I think that's first and foremost why it's really important to just have an understanding of how your body works, because then you can understand how other things are going to affect your body. You don't have to know everything, but I think just taking the time to not just allow your body to be separate. And, you know, so often I feel like our society and our just the medical model has kind of taught us that what our understanding and our bodies are just separate. So we just need to take a pill, or we just need to have a surgery because this one problem has nothing to do with the rest of your body, or you don't even need to understand what's going on. Just take this pill, which really takes the connection and the understanding out of it. So I think having an understanding is just really important, because you can advocate for yourself and understand what your options are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. So what are some things that society/pharma has made normal that can deeply affect our fertility and hormones?
Oh man, how much time do we have, right? and I'm glad that we're okay talking about what pharma has kind of made normal, because that's something I could talk about all day long, because I mean, they really are to blame in a lot of ways. For things that we consider normal. And also, as we were just saying, like for reasons that women especially feel so disconnected from their bodies, because whether we've always been given these opportunities or just another option, like here, just take this pill, or here, let's just remove your gallbladder. We don't even need to know why you were having issues in the first place. Let's just take that out and you'll be totally fine. Or just that mindset of like, you don't have to know what's going on. Doctors have to know, and then we'll just give you a pill or an intervention and it will be fine. Mm-hmm. So I think that's just a big piece of what's really infiltrated society and why we kind of have that mindset. But just a few examples I can think of are obviously hormonal birth control, right? That's such a normalized thing. I mean, I don't know, like I know so many women who are on it, some form of it. And it's just not even for contraception, for so many different reasons, right? Also, like I just mentioned, the gallbladder removal is something that we don't think about often, but there's so many women in their young 20s, 30s who have their gallbladders removed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it's just, yeah, I don't know, you just had inflammation and it was just painful, so you had to get it taken out. We don't really need that anyway. And that's become a really normal phenomenon. I don't know if you know women who've had that.
No, but like, it just doesn't make sense though, because like, if we don't need it, why was it put there? You know?
Exactly. I'm like, why are we buying this? Yeah, it's just, yeah, that organ didn't really need it. Not sure why it's there. But I mean, I remember growing up and having like family members that got their gallbladder taken out, and my mom would just be like, yeah, you don't really need it. It's not like you don't have to have a gallbladder. It's like, oh, okay. Weird. But anyway, so that's become like a really popular thing for young women, is getting their gallbladder removed. Huh. And actually, so our gallbladder is really important for metabolizing fat, which creates cholesterol, which is where we get our hormones from. So we have to have proper metabolized fat to create hormones. And the gallbladder is a huge part of that. It's a digestive organ. But a lot of times there are, there's a lot of hormone receptors in the gallbladder. So this phenomenon of estrogen dominance oftentimes can affect the gallbladder and cause those colicky episodes, gallstones, pain. And a lot of times the culprit for at least women in that 20 to 30 year age range is estrogen dominance. So it's a hormone issue that is completely ignored, and women's gallbladders are just removed. So that's actually something that I have seen super common. Like, I have to ask every client now, do you still have a gallbladder? Like, do you still, because it's so common that it's that women don't have it anymore, because that 20 to 30 year that age group where we have so many different things that lead us to estrogen dominance, and then the gallbladder issues, and it's kind of the cascade, but ends up with either your gallbladder is removed, or you know, you're heavily medicated until basically they remove it anyway. So yeah, that's a couple of things that I can think of right off the top of my head. Did I answer your question? And yes. I kind of rambled.
Yeah, no, you're good. Yeah, you did. Okay, so next, how does birth control specifically affect our hormones? And this is the one that I'm like really excited about. I don't know why, but.
Yeah, that's actually a really good question, because unfortunately, I don't think that a lot of women actually know how it affects their hormones. A lot of us think that we're taking birth control because it regulates our hormones, right? Like, I'm sure you've heard that, like, oh yeah, I'm just taking this to like normalize my period because I have all these hormone issues, and this just like regulates, evens everything out, right? So if only that was actually what was happening. So the way that hormonal birth control works, I'm talking specifically about the hormonal birth control pill. Obviously, there's lots of other forms of birth control and contraceptive devices and things, but specifically talking about the birth control pill, it really acts by acting on the brain, the structures in our brain, which are our hypothalamus and pituitary, which send hormone signals to our ovaries and our uterus to tell them to produce hormones and to ovulate throughout our cycle, and it triggers those specific hormones at the specific time of the month that we ovulate. So what the birth control pill actually does is it stops that brain communication from the ovaries so that we don't ovulate. So instead of actually balancing our hormones, it actually just like shuts them off.
Right.
So we get to this place where whatever issues that you had prior to the pill, or sometimes women are really just taking it for contraception, but there's a lot of times when women are prescribed it for other things like hormone issues, terrible cramps, acne, any kind of hormonal imbalance at all, women are pretty much offered the pill as the solution. And so whatever those issues are, after you take birth control, you're basically just shutting off your hormones. And then when you come to a point where you want to get off the pill, those issues are still there because we never actually dealt with them. We just kind of put them on pause. Yeah.
So Gosh.
Which,
Okay. Man, yeah, there's just like so much there. And I think I sent the email, I was like, I could ask like 10 more questions.
Yeah, well, I mean, if anything else comes to mind, feel free to ask.
Okay.
That's kind of the gist of it. Like, that's okay. Just like simplistic terms, which I wish that, like, why can't an OB just like say that to a woman before they're put on birth control? Just like, I just want you to know how this works, you know, because I explain that to a lot of women that are sitting in my office, which I don't prescribe medications at all. My goal is really to kind of help normalize and support without using medications, and how can we support or support your body if that's the route that you choose. But this, I hear the same thing all the time. Like, I didn't know that it worked that way. I had no idea. I just thought it was regulating things. Mm-hmm. So, or tricking my body into thinking that I'm pregnant, which that's like another one.
I've never heard that.
Yeah. It just makes your body think that you're pregnant. That's all. It's like, no, not at all.
Huh.
While simultaneously pumping you full of synthetic hormone.
Right.
So the estrogen and progesterone, that's synthetic forms, which tells your body, oh, I don't need to produce my own. And then we have this whole issue of either increased synthetic hormone or really low hormone production, because our body is following that feedback loop thinking, oh, we already have that hormone, so I don't need to produce it. And that gets into a cascade of other issues.
Yeah, man. Oh my gosh. Okay. So are there any ways to track fertility or hormones?
Yes. So my favorite way is called, well, there's lots of different methods that are non-hormonal. My favorite is the fertility awareness method. So It's literally exactly how it sounds. You're becoming aware of your fertility, mm-hmm. because you're tracking the signs and symptoms that your body is giving you throughout the month that tell you, okay, yes, I'm fertile, or no, this is not my fertile window. Because we can really only get pregnant about 5 to 7 days out of the month. That's being a little generous. Sometimes that window is a little bit smaller for some women, or it's about that 5 to 7 day range. So it's not the entire month that we're actually able to get pregnant, which is like, okay, so why are we taking medication every single day of the month if we can't get pregnant every day? But that's, you know, and women just don't know that.
Yeah.
So they think, oh, if I'm not taking the pill every single day, then it's just like Russian roulette and I could just get pregnant anytime. And it's like, well, no, actually, you have to really know how your body's working and what signs it's giving you. So the three signs that the fertility awareness method focuses on is cervical mucus, which is the discharge that your body produces throughout the month at different times so that sperm can either live and make it to a fertilized or an ovulated egg or not. And then also the position of your cervix. So whether that's open or closed or high or low, the position actually tells us a lot about our fertility and what our uterus is doing throughout the month. And then also waking temperature. So this is like right when you roll over before you stand up or do anything else throughout the day. What is your basal body temperature? Because that also is a key indicator of when you've ovulated. And that's another sign that you can record to kind of show what fertility or where you are at in your cycle as far as fertility.
Gotcha. Okay. I think I've heard of people doing the temperature before, but I haven't really kept track of that myself.
Yeah.
I did for a while keep my own calendar in my agenda.
Yeah.
Which was pretty nice. It was helpful.
Yes.
So, and then it does, like, when we do, like, start to, like, keep track of it, like, I am more aware and, like, in tune with, like, what my body is doing. And I'm like, oh, you know, it's just, like, it's really eye-opening. And I just have been more, like, appreciative of my body because of what I know.
It's fascinating. Even just simply doing the temperatures can tell you a lot. Because your temperature will kind of spike a little bit around ovulation and it'll stay a little bit higher, and you can actually see a change from that time of the month versus the other days of the month, even though it's a really slight change. But you use a basal body thermometer, which is a really sensitive thermometer, and even just doing that is super helpful just to kind of have an understanding of your body. And then when something's wrong or you may have some hormonal issues coming up, you're going to know because you know your body and you have that data.
Okay, nice. Okay, so where would we be able to get a basal body thing.
Basil body, you can get them anywhere. They're okay. Actually like $10. They're okay. Very simple, cheap. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at Walgreens. You just want to make sure they have like 2 decimal points. So it'll go to like 98.72 and not just like 98 or something like that. So you want to make sure that it has those at least 2 decimal points so you can really see those small changes in temperature, but you can okay. get them all over. Some of the other like fancier products that do that is like a Daisy thermometer, okay. which is like, that's like the most popular one. It actually does the tracking for you. So you don't take your temperature and then like write it down on a little chart. Like you can do that pen and paper, but the Daisy is one of those, it's like a computer. So you just gotcha. Stick it in your mouth. It's the thermometer. And then it keeps track of all of that. But okay. I mean, honestly, just the $10 thermometer and then a pencil and paper works just as well.
Nice. Love it. Yeah. Okay. So do you have any closing thoughts or anything?
Yeah, sure. I think the biggest takeaway is just understanding your body is going to be the most empowering thing for women, especially. I think it's just, you understand your body and you know your body and you can tell when your body is changing before, you know, anyone else can pick that up. So just mm-hmm. like trusting yourself in that. And then if you don't trust yourself, then take the time to really learn your body yeah. and maybe start tracking those fertility signs or even just your waking temperature, or take some time throughout the day for like some mindfulness and really like zero in like, okay, how does my body feel right now? How did my conversation with that person just make me feel? Or how did my cup of coffee with no food, how does that make me feel afterward? You know, or how does, you know, just check in with yourself and like really knowing yourself is where that empowerment comes from. And it can start with just those really small things. Mm-hmm. You don't have to know all the answers, but just taking the time to know yourself and not separating your health or outsourcing your health to someone else who's yeah. not in your body and who's not you. You know, we need doctors and we need those healthcare providers that help us, but we can't just outsource everything to them. So I think mm-hmm. If anyone hears anything from this, like my biggest thing for women is just that they really understand their bodies and take the time to know themselves.
Mm-hmm. That's sure. awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. Sorry. Zoom is talking at me right now.
You're okay. I see it's like remaining meeting time makes me like sweat when that comes on. It's like, oh no, it's going to shut down.
Yeah. Well, cool. Thank you so much for hopping on. Do you want to share anything about your practice and kind of what you're doing right now before we hop off?
Yes, I would love to. So I'm a chiropractor. I don't know if I said that. I'm a chiropractor and I'm really focused on functional medicine and acupuncture and, more specifically feminine physiology. So my passion is really helping women between that, like those reproductive years where, cycling women or getting off the pill all the way through pregnancy and postpartum. That's really kind of my sweet spot. So, I love working with women, helping them to optimize hormones, postpartum fertility, adrenal issues, thyroid issues, all of that. And my practice is Abide Functional Wellness. I just opened about 6 weeks ago on my own. So it's been going really well. And I'm in Shawnee, Kansas. So I work in person there and I also work virtually all over the place. So you can find me, best place to find me is Instagram. I'm just at Dr. Chelsea Carwath. And then my link there will take you to my website and all that good stuff.
Nice. Thank you so much for hopping on.
Thank you. And thank you. I hope I didn't ramble too much.
No, you're good. I love it. I love rambling. I do it literally all the time. So that's why I love it.
Well, thank you for letting me ramble and I really appreciate you having me on.
Yes. Today's scripture is Psalm 139:13-14. And it says, "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." I love the words, "you knitted me together." It's talking about our veins and our organs and how he knit all of the organs within our body to work in a very specific way. And it's just so exciting and beautiful to know that he did that with great passion and love and care for us as his creation. So he didn't just toss us together in hopes that we would just be able to, you know, thrive and like live on earth. No, each part of our body is meant to function in a very specific way. The Lord intricately designed our bodies, and it is a beautiful privilege to honor him in how we care for what he's designed. Stewarding our bodies well is an honoring thing to do. Charles Spurgeon says, who can gaze even upon a model of our anatomy without wonder and awe? End quote. The work the Lord has done in us is marvelous, and it's a great honor to do everything unto the Lord in the way that we care for our bodies and steward our bodies that he has given us. So we don't care for our bodies out of a need to follow the world or obligation we get to, and it's fun and a joy to steward what he has given us. And I just pray that as we listen to these episodes, we just seek the Lord for who he is as an intelligent designer, and to understand the way that he created us, and just seek what it looks like to live as a woman of God, and just be able to honor him throughout all of it. My friend, I hope that you enjoyed this episode. Friend, I hope you enjoyed this podcast episode today. If so, I would love it if you left a rating and a review on whatever podcast streaming service that you use, and shared it on social media with your friends, maybe sharing a quote that you got from the episode and just what the Lord is teaching you throughout it. I pray that you have a great and blessed week.